Welcome to part two of our conversation with Joe Nelson about investigating the dead. Let me ask you this. On investigations, when you're out there, and I know this term gets thrown around far too often, evil, demonic, things of that nature. Quite often, it's a rare thing to come across. But in your many years of doing this, do you believe you've ever come across something that you would honestly qualify as being evil or demonic?
I'll be honest. Not really.
Wow.
I think a lot of things, I may have had one instance, but, and that was in the upstate of South Carolina doing an investigation. We did have what the residents were saying, the smells of rotten eggs, banging, a lot of things people may contribute to what a demonic haunting may be. And we had a portal going, and we were investigating, and there was someone there that said they were into satanic worship. Now, he was with a different team. I wasn't too keen on that too much, but whatever happened, the portal straight up asked for this guy. We asked whoever may be there, what do you want? And they called this person's name out. And it was just unusual that we had all, you know, all the claims of the smells, the scratches, the different things the family was experiencing, and then, you know, we're asking this thing if it's demonic, and we're getting yes, and then it turns around and asks for someone that's supposedly a satanic worshiper. That was probably the only time, I believe, when it really comes down to it, that people misinterpret it. I believe that, you know, some people say, hey, I was slapped, you know, it must be evil. So I look at it as, what if a ghost is trying to get your attention and it's trying to poke you? You're not noticing it, and it's using every energy it has, and instead of a poke, it may come out as a slap. I mean, just like if your kids were coming in the room, and if you remember when your kids were little, they would tug on your pants. And they would tug on your pants. They would tug on your pants until you finally noticed them and said, what? I believe that's what ghosts do. I believe they're just trying, a lot of them are just trying to get some kind of, recognized for being there. And, you know, I believe it's the person that lives there. Can they live together with this spirit? A lot of people say, you know what, you can stay here. You just leave me alone. You can have a house when I'm gone. Or things like that. I believe when it comes, a lot of people may say, okay, well, I had scratches. You know, it's demonic. Well, if you were to take your hand and like pretend you're scratching yourself down the arm, usually there's three primary scratches: your index, your middle finger, and ring finger. A lot of the other fingers don't show up.
Sure.
Okay, so that becomes three scratches. A lot of people say that's a mark of the Holy Trinity. I know, you know, that if something happened and I got scratched, usually I have three little marks. And this is just by, you know, someone living.
Sure.
Either wrestling with my teenage son or whatever. that's what happens. But I think a lot of people mock it up and too quick to call it demonic without knowing what's really going on. Could it be something just trying to get your attention? A lot of people say 3 o'clock is the witching hour. It's the mock of the Holy Trinity. Then I start thinking to myself, well, when were demonic spirits becoming time zone sensitive? It could be 3 o'clock here, but it's only a midnight in California. It doesn't make sense to me. It really doesn't. So I believe what a lot of people call what could be demonic isn't. I think it's just them misinterpreting what could be going on.
Do you believe, though, that there are truly demonic hauntings? Even maybe you haven't necessarily experienced them in depth, and they get the term gets thrown around far too frequently. But do you believe that there are cases where it is that dark?
Yes, I truly do. My group goes, we are Christians. We most of us go to church. We believe in God. Well, if you believe in God, well, there's definitely Satan. If you believe in angels, well, there's obviously demons. I do believe people can be oppressed by demonic. I think they can be possessed by demonic spirits. And a lot of it, you know, could be just being in the wrong stream of life, just all the drugs that they could be using, all the alcohol they could be using. That is that really possessed? I don't know. I think it could be oppressed on how their life is, just something influencing them. Mm-hmm. And that could be the same with the haunting. I believe that people can be oppressed. I believe they can argue more in their family. Things in their family or in their house can be more tense, to the point to where things can be happening around their house that, you know, more poltergeist activity. Now, is that necessarily an evil spirit? I don't believe. But it can be just like the rest of the spirits. I mean, it's hard to say what they can be until you get in there and investigate. But yeah, I believe there can be demonic spirits out there. And just like there's angels, I believe people have, when they've had different situations happen, car crashes, something traumatic, they always say, I saw this person. I saw this person. I don't know where he went. I don't know what happened to him, but he was here helping me. I believe that can happen. And so it's one of those things. If it's not, it's night and then it's day. There's evil and then there's good. So yeah, I believe it's out there. I don't believe every paranormal activity relates to that, though.
Do you think that someone who's in a negative situation, maybe they're going through some trauma, maybe they're going through some difficulties, and it's just a dark place for them at that moment in time, that sort of environment can attract something that's just, you know, I've used the term on the show, actually one of our listeners coined it a long time ago, ass souls, where it's not necessarily something demonic, it was just a really shitty person in life that is going to want to, you know, tag along for that sad journey that someone's on. Do you think it's just as likely that something negative like that could cling on to something as something that could be darker?
Yes, I do. I believe that people in bad situations can welcome those things. If they're, it's kind of a thing that I'm trying to think of the best answer for this one. I do believe that people could be, let's say, have a tag along. Just like I go out to an investigation, there's always a chance I can bring something home. Mm-hmm. Now, we pray every time we get done with an investigation. But just like someone in a bad situation, I believe they can get a tag along that can clamp onto them. Mm-hmm. And you'll hear some people say, I see something, you know, they can be a medium and say, there's something on their back. And I believe that people in bad situations can welcome negative things in their life, whether it be either a demonic spirit or just bad luck, maybe. I don't know. But it just does seem like someone in that frame of life, something always negative is always happening to them. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to say what it could be.
Yeah, it's almost like a domino effect. Like once it starts going, it's hard to stop those dominoes. And it can just keep going. Has there ever been a time where you've been looking at an investigation or getting into one where you said, okay, this might be over our head. What's going on here is something that you're almost intimidated by to investigate further.
I really haven't necessarily walked into that too much. To where I just thought it was out of our hands. We try to educate the person, the residential person, on how they can try to get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Either it be them sitting down as a family and telling, hey, you're not wanted here. You're not welcome here. This is our house. You need to leave. You need to go to the light. You're not welcome here. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we do prayers. We'll do the Lord's Prayer. I have used the St. Michael's Prayer also. But I haven't really had that situation where it has just been overwhelming, like, okay, we can't deal with this. This is too much.
Yeah.
Maybe that one investigation I talked about where we felt that it was something evil or demonic, they had ended up cleansing the house and all that. And from my understanding, activity went on and they had to have a priest come in there. But that was me helping out with another team. So I'm not sure if all that facts are true. But I really haven't ran into anything where it has just pushed us out, or if we felt like we had to get out, or it was too much for us. We can't, you know, this, you know, we're not ready for this or anything like that. Really haven't had that.
No. This is an interesting question, and I think we'll probably wrap up on this. Through all the years of doing investigative work into people's homes and such, and this is not a guide to do this, but I'm curious if someone is sitting there and if you were to say, what are some of the most likely things someone can do to make their home haunted? What would you tell them? If not saying anyone wants to do this, but when you look back on the track record of, okay, these are similarities in cases over the years, what are some of those things?
Oh, geez. That's a hard one. We always tell people stay away from the Ouija boards.
Sure.
I have to say, I believe a lot of people are so uneducated about it. Now, you know, we do not use spirit boards whatsoever on my team. Mm-hmm. Because you just, and you know, a lot of people can come back to us and make arguments. Like, you know, we can tell someone, you don't know who you're talking to. Mm-hmm. You don't know who's coming through that board. If it is demonic, could it be Zozo? Could it be this? Could it be? You don't know.
Yeah.
But yet some people can say, how do you know what you're talking to when you're doing EVPs? I think it comes with education and knowing what you're truly, truly doing. I believe if you don't know what you're doing when you go out and do investigations, you're going to have problems. If you go out and try to mess with a Ouija board, you're going to have problems. If you don't know how to close the session correctly, you could be asking for trouble. Mm-hmm. If you're asking just anybody, hey, is anybody there? Would you like to talk to me? That is inviting anything whatsoever. And it's kind of the same thing with investigating, but I think with that, I'm more educated and kind of have a feeling of more of what I'm doing, know my surroundings, understand what's going on, understand the signs that if this is happening, yes, we do need to pull out. I'm not as educated with that with Ouija boards, and neither are teenagers. So they could be welcoming anything. I have to admit, if you're uneducated about investigating whatsoever, that's something you don't need to do until you are with someone that is educated and know what they're doing, or the same thing with an actual spirit board. Unless that person really knows what they're doing, you don't need to do that because it's just asking for trouble.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Joe Nelson about investigating the dead. A big thank you to him for sharing his experiences with us on today's episode. And a big thank you to you for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without you. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.